praise and dance team, they was doing everything but cartwheels. You know, I'm like, praise the Lord. And there was one lady toward the end, she's older than me. Looked like anybody's grandmother and church mother. She came up to me and she said, son, keep on keeping on. I mean, just by this time, I'm wiped out. God is so, the Spirit of God was so high in the auditorium, the guards didn't even come in. There was no guards the whole time we were there. And we were just, the Lord, we're just blessing the Lord in that place. And I say, God, thank you. So if folks can have that amount of praise and worship in their hearts and in their minds, it doing time and some doing life, how much more for us who are free in Christ Jesus? You know, we're talking today about the freedom series. Yes. Amen. Do we really understand how free we are today? Matter of fact, my cousin Doc and Pepper, she used to be a LAPD, and one of her friends is in there. Wow. And she had heard one of the ladies at the Bible study had told her that Pastor Kermit was going to be there, and he knows Doc and Pepper. So I didn't know this, but I come up to the auditorium. Here's this lady standing, and she said, you Pastor Kermit? I said, yeah. She said, you know Pepper? I said, yeah. She said, did she retire? I mean, it's a small world. And she's in there for murder. But God has transformed her. I said, well, they live in Branch on Cucamonga. She said, where is that? I said, you know, but just the Lord met us there. It's what I want to say. And it was just a blessing. So thank you all for indulging. We just had to share because we were overwhelmed. As the Lord said, we went there looking to bless them, but we were blessed. And people were, you know, as anyone was sharing, folks were just crying and praising the Lord. I said, God, you can do that for us here, that we'll begin to really think about and recognize how great you are. Yeah. And what you've done in our lives in the midst of all of the trials that we have. Oh, yeah, we talked about the trials these women have behind the bars, but we have, am I right about it? We have some trials today. Some of us are sitting here today, we're going through some challenges. We have some health issues. We have some children issues. We have some financial issues. You name issues, we have them, but we should still have a praise down in our heart because the God we serve, he's just good, good, good all by himself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just thank God. Amen. Amen. So I was looking all week. I was working. You know, we're in this freedom series in Romans chapter 8, that flagship of the book of Romans, that eighth chapter that encapsulates everything that we need to know about our God and who he is and what he has done for us. So I'm asking God, what part of this, before we get to the one for next week, what is it that we share out of this? So I'm kind of looking and closing the book and looking. And so Sandy said, well, give me something because I'm going to be flying out of here. I need to put something in the insert. And I'm reading in the scriptures, and I say, well, we're going to call the message signed, sealed, and delivered, right? I say, well, Stevie Wonder's not here, but if he was. But then as I kept on last night, I was, here we go again with prison. I was talking to my nephew, Bernard, who's doing life without parole. And we started talking, and I asked him, what do that verse, Romans 8:28, mean to you? Where it said, for we know that all things work together for you. He said, well, Uncle, I got a headache right now, and I've been studying. I don't know. So we having this conversation, and then he was dealing with over in John 11, Matthew 11, but the Lord began to speak to me and caused me to use this topic for us to share just for a few moments. Do you know what we know? Mm-hmm. Now, let me just lay this out first. This is not an arrogant type statement. It's not like telling someone, hey, I know all of this, and you don't know nothing, and I'm saying, do you know what we know? I'm not saying that. But when we get to, let me read verse 28, then we go do some background from 26 to 30. But it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. It says, and we know. See, there's some things we know as men and women of God. Thank you, Lord. In the midst of all that we're going through today, there's some things we know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. To know, Webster say, is to have, to perceive directly, to have direct cognition, to have understanding of something. And that understanding is understanding of who God is. Thank you, Lord. I'm talking about the God who has came in and gave us peace. The God who's came in and gave us direction. The God who delivered us from sin and shame. The God who delivered us from him, from ourselves. Thank you, Lord. That God, we have a knowledge of who he is. Who do you think created the heavens and the earth? That God, see. The one who sent his only son to die for the sins of the world, that God, we have some knowledge of who he is. In the midst of everything we're going through, have you ever had a time where it's even been hard to pray? Have you ever had some hard times that have driven you to your knees? And have you ever had times when you can't even figure out the words to pray and you're just moaning and groaning? Crying out to God. Sometimes we say, God, where are you, God? God, don't you see me? God, don't you know where I'm at? God, don't you know it hurts? Have you ever been there? But see, we have a knowing. We know, see, who he is. Thank you, God. John 8:31 says, "This then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him." See, to the religious leaders who believed him, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. He's telling us if we stick with the word, see, and you shall know the truth. That is knowing something again. We know some things. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Woo, thank you, Lord. Anybody free today? Anybody free in Christ Jesus on today? Amen. Let me walk through this because it's Valentine coming up and all that Super Bowl and some folks got to get the pizzas ready and all that. But it's time just to hear a little bit of the word of God on today. And before we leave here on today, there's a table set up with Valentine stuff for men, women, and children. As my cousin used to say, she couldn't talk real good. She would come, she said, cheering. Yeah, we got stuff for the cheering back there, too. So don't leave without stopping at the table today. Thank you, Lord. You know, I think it was in Power Hour this morning, somebody wanted to know how long you been married. One said 51 years. Another one said 50. I said 45 plus 16 months. But there's somebody here named Raul who just got married. How long ago? 2 months. Are you still excited?
Yeah.
All right. Is that why you're smiling like that? And I'm sure Irene may be watching, so praise the Lord, Irene. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, all right. Let's start it. Romans 8:26. Do you know what we know? See, there's some things we need to know. In the midst of all the trials I aforementioned. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Hallelujah.
Do anybody know that?
Thank you, Jesus.
I heard the word of God saying that when I'm weak, then am I strong in the name of Jesus. See, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Thank you, God. Oh, I'm 6'3", man. You are weak and you need Jesus on your side to help you. See, he said, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Have you ever been there? When you see the stuff all around us, from the news media to the stuff we see within family and neighborhoods and homelessness and all the things, the anxiety that the world can bring up on us, the injustices that we see, the even sometimes wondering, God, where are you? He says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You may not ever been there before, but somebody in here been in a place to where you just moaned. You just kind of waved your hand. You just kind of sit there with tears running down your face, and God is heavy on me. See, I wish I could say that every day I'm on top and prospering. I can't say that. That every day I'm walking in divine health. I can't say that. That every day, oh, this wallet is full. And I know I only got $1 in it right now. But I got some somewhere else. But life. If we don't have some things that we know, life can take a toll on us. When that relationship goes sour, you know. When a loved one has been locked up in prison for life. This world is rocking and reeling. Above these verses, it talks about how the whole creation just groaning. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned and God pronounced the curse on mankind and told man that if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And men been dying ever since. And women struggling in childbirth and men working by the sweat of their brow. Even though we live in a time, some men don't even want to work. But they want a house and a big screen and a remote. And don't want to work. That's another story. But these are the times we're living in. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Hallelujah. How can he help us if we don't ever acknowledge that we're weak in some areas? That we're not sufficient in ourselves. That we need the Lord. That we can't make it without him. The one who forgives us of our sins. Verse 27 says, and the Father who knows all hearts. Oh, my Lord. You mean, Barbara, that the Lord know our heart? He knows my heart better than I even know my heart. Because sometimes I think about something and I'm like, whoa, where'd that come from? God already seen it. And it drives me to him. He said, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers. Look, don't miss that now. The Spirit pleads for us believers. Man, when you don't know where the next dollar coming from and your wife and your kids is looking for you to do something. But it says that the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will when we're struggling sometimes. Persecuted. Done wrong. The Spirit pleads for us. The Holy Spirit pleading for us. How miraculous is that? How humbling and how powerful is that? God, I don't know what to do. Isn't that what Jehoshaphat said? When the nation was surrounded by the enemy, he said, God, we don't know what to do. And when we can get to that point where we don't know what to do, God said, that's good. Now you can get on out the way. I can give it to Jesus. He'll work it out. Thank you, Lord. God told Moses, the enemy you see today, I love this. I might say this in every message. The enemy you see today, you'll see no more forever. Somebody in here today, something you're going through, God is saying, you won't see this no more forever. Because the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. And he just wants us to receive what he has for us. The flagship verse. And we know. Do you know what we know? Yeah. You got to know what you know. And you got to know what you don't know. And we know. You got to ask yourself, who's the we? See? This is written to the church. For we know. See, we're in the world, but not of the world. We've been redeemed out of the world. We've been forgiven of our sins. And so we are the we in this we know part here. And we know that God causes everything to work for the good Oh boy, let me stop. It's not even a comma, but let me just stop there for a minute. Is everything that we experience, is it good?
No.
Anybody have had any hard things come up in your life? Let me just take a poll. If so, just raise your hand. I just want to know. Okay, so it ain't just me. So, is everything that happened good? No. Who would have told a drunk young man in 76 that this terrible divorce from the only woman he ever loved could work for the good? Somebody who didn't know Jesus, somebody who was broken and torn on the inside. This verse may not have had any impact on me at that time. But when I came to know Jesus, I've learned that it was good. It worked out for the good. He says, and we know that God causes everything. He says some things. And listen, don't get blown out of the box and think your struggle is only you and nobody know about it. Nobody cares. Nobody going through it. No, you're not the only one. I'm not the only one. We can give it to Jesus, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of, I love this part, of those who love God. Any lovers of God in the house? I just want to know. It all worked together for the good of those who love God. What do you mean? Wait a minute, let me get this straight. With all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my humility, God, I love you because you love me first.
Hallelujah.
All things work together for the good for them who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose for them. Hello, somebody. That means that God has a purpose for each one of us.
Yes.
Ain't no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And when we get to heaven, ain't no titles. God, God said, oh, come on, pastor. They say, no, come on, sin. I used to be sin. You know, come on into the joy of the Lord. The ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I really want to get to the place where I really understand this great and awesome God that we come to the house of prayer to worship. Just want to really know him. Thank you, God. He said, now listen to verse 29, because you can't deal with 29 and 30 without understanding 28. Pastor Jones, God wants us to know who he is and who we are in him, what he has done for us. I've said it many times, we ain't joined no club. We came into the kingdom of God. We're covered under the blood of Jesus. And God has a plan for, he had a plan for us before we were even born, before the earth was created. It says in verse 29, for God knew his people in advance.
Yes.
Can I just take one more poll? How many in here know that you belong to God? I just want to know. Oh yeah, let me raise mine up. So listen to this. So for God knew his people in advance. And he chose them to become like his son. Andrew, he called us to be like his son, loving and caring and sharing, empathizing and sympathizing with those who are in need. He says, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Jesus came and lived a perfect life in our place that we couldn't live. And he was ridiculed and spit upon and beaten to a pulp and hung on old rugged cross for your sins and for mine. And yet he never mumbled a curse word. He never returned evil for evil. And he rose on the third day with all power in his hand. And his blood still works. People today are yet crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. As they were crying in Isaiah 6, as the angels was crying, the post of the door of the temple was just moving at the voice of the angels that's crying, holy. If the angels can cry holy and they've never been redeemed, how about you and me? And having chosen them, let me put it this way, and having chosen us, let me put it this way, and after having chosen you, okay, take it a little bit further, and have chosen me, see, and having chosen us, he called us to come to him. Listen, it ain't a one day, it ain't a one shot deal. Every day we need to be calling on the Lord. Every day we need to be saying, thank you, Jesus. Every day we're saying, God, deliver me. Every day, God, show me your purpose and your plan for my life. Having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, listen. Listen, Linda. No, I'm just that's something y'all ain't see. If you ain't seen it yet, you have to look it up. He gave them right standing with himself. Oh, Sister Shirley, he gave us right standing with him, brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light, declared us righteous by the blood of Jesus. Oh, we ought to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And listen, and have given them right standing, he gave them his glory. He gave us his glory. How did he do that? How did he give us his glory? When you see his, when God sees his people and others can see his people going forth for him, yes, crying out to him, blessing his name, helping those who are in need, praying for those who are sick, praying over those who are dying, all the various things, God has poured out his glory upon us that we may glorify him in this earth realm, yes, that somebody will come to know there's somebody greater than me. Because when we're born, we think we the greatest thing that ever happened. Right? Smarter, stronger, quicker than anybody. No, come on back down to earth. You ain't hit no home run or triple either. Sometimes it's a single. But when we recognize how great our God is, what a blessing. And we know. So the question, do you know what we know? We got to talk about here in a minute some stuff we know. See, and don't let nobody tell you that you don't know what you know. Because if you know what you know that you know that you know, can't nobody tell you what you don't know in Jesus. Don't take a note on that one. In the Amplified Version, Romans 8:28 says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. There it is again. God has a purpose for us. And sometimes we be going around the same tree over and over again. You know, God, what's my purpose? I don't know what my purpose is. God, why don't you just show me what my purpose is? God has said, why don't you just follow me? Why don't you take up my yoke and learn of me? Why don't you find yourself crying out in obedience to the Lord? And God, as he shows us this much light, if we step toward that light, he'll show us some more light. And we'll begin to walk in our purpose, see. And our main purpose is to obey God. Our main purpose is to glorify him. Our main purpose is to say hallelujah, because there's a lion inside. All right. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 11:27, all things, Jesus said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. This is some pretty deep stuff. When I'm talking to my nephew, we get in the word, and mind you, he's in prison. It even rains in his prison cell, and his stuff gets wet, and he's been down for 30 years, but now he has his mind on Jesus, and haven't had a write-up in 9 years. So we get to talking deep in the word. He said, Uncle, this is deep water. Sometimes he say, Dad, I got to put some scuba gear on because the Holy Spirit is ministering to him.
Yes.
See, God want to free somebody up today from your past.
Right.
He wants you to walk not only in your present, but he wants you to walk in your future.
Yes.
As you see what he has for you. He said, Jesus said in Matthew 11:27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. Listen to this. And no one knows the Son, his name is Jesus, no one knows the Son, Jesus, except the Father. And here's where it gets real good. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. But see, we know some stuff, Pastor Joe. Come on, what they used to say, read. Read. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
Yes.
To those to whom the Son wills to reveal him. God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ to us.
Yes.
For such a worm as I. Thank you, Jesus. I haven't seen Jesus, but I sure have felt him. I haven't seen Jesus, but I sure heard him speaking to my heart and my mind.
Yes, yes.
Job, favorite, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Man who went through so much pain, so much hurt, so much agony. And some of the stuff we're going through may not compare with what he was going through, but it's big time for us. There's saints who belong to 3Ps that can't come to the house of the Lord because of health issues. Some can't come into the house of the Lord because of mental issues. But yet, loving God. Brother Terry, who on our morning prayer line that had both legs amputated, and yet he's giving God glory. Can't do his photography work at the city hall no more because he can't get around yet. But he's still blessing God. He's still giving God praise. How did that happen? And sometime we can let this bump in the road come and knock us down, make us shake our fists at God. And when the problem is sin in this world, and it's us and our sinful nature and the fallen world that we're living in, but we have a God who wants us to raise up our head and look unto him who's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Right.
How in the world would Job know the things that God downloaded to him? Because he didn't have Thessalonians. He didn't have 1 Corinthians. He didn't have Philippians. But he had God in his life.
Yeah.
He was a perfect and upright man, meaning he was a mature man in God. And he loved God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. But he lost all 10 kids. His body was covered with sore boils. And all of his riches was gone. And the Bible tells me he fell down and worshiped God. He said, thank you, God. That takes a relationship. That takes a relationship with God in the midst of our pain to say, God, I just want to thank you for being my God. Thank you for knowing who I am. He's on his bed of affliction. He didn't know if he was going to live or die. And his precious wife, she saw how bad he looked. I hope she wasn't as bad as my daddy was. Because my daddy would go to the hospital and he'd see somebody, he'd say, oh my God. Say, Daddy, don't say that in the hospital. The man is sick. He said, my, you look bad. I said, that is not the way this is supposed to go. But Job's wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? And that's a trick of the enemy. The same devil today is telling folks, why don't you just end it all? I remember as a kid hearing that song, Stop This World and Let Me Off. Anybody from the 60s? And I was entertaining that stuff. I didn't even really know what suicide was, but there's a devil who come to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundant. Job says, for I know that my Redeemer lives. He laying on the bed covered with sore boils. The Bible says he was scraping the pus off of his arms and his legs. Boils was, Sister Caroline, from head to toe. But he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he'll stand at the latter day upon the earth. Even after my skin worms have destroyed this body, yet in my flesh will I see God. Do we have an eternal hope? Or do we have hope in just what we see right now? Do we only have hope in what we would get? You know, God is no cosmic Santa Claus. Gimme, 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 I must have. God is much greater than that. He wants us to look past our situation and see him. He's willing and able to touch our infirmities. The Bible tells me he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. For we know that all things work together for the good. What do we know? We know that our sins have been forgiven, and we're on our way to heaven. We know that our name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. We know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us always, even to the end of the earth. We know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We know that he's a provider. We know that he's a healer. Hallelujah. We know he's coming back again. Oh, God, what? For we know that all things work together for good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We know that if he fed the 5,000, he can feed you and I. We know that that once we leave this old body, we're going to be in his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lazarus was graveyard dead. And Jesus walked up in the graveyard and said, Lazarus, come forth. In those days, they wrapped people up like mummies, you know. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. I can see old Lazarus say, huh? And the Bible say, read it for yourself, John 11. Say, the Bible say he came out of that tomb, wrapped up. Then Jesus, he gave the people to do something that they could do. They say, he said, untie him. Unwrap him and let him go. For we know that he's a healer. Mm-hmm. We know that he heals cancer. We know that he can cure an alcoholic and a drug addict from the depths and the clutches of the devil and set him free. We know that he's prepared a place for us. And if he go and prepare a place for us, he's coming back again to receive us unto himself. So say, keep it in your mind what you know. We know that it's he who saved me. It's he who took anger out of my heart. He's the one who took stealing and violence out of me. We know what he can do. Not only do we know what he can do and what he has done, we know what he's going to do. He said, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So the next time the enemy come to you lying, the next time the enemy come to you trying to trip you up, you start reminding yourself what you know. Because if God be for me, he's more than the world against me. Thank you, Lord. One with God is a majority. I know this. See, we know this. We know that there's power in prayer. We know that there's power in unity. Thank you, God. We know that God is working in our midst right now. We know. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. I'm done. Come on, Pastor Jones. Close this. Your back is kind of out. You better sit right there. Let us stand. Let's pray. Praise God. For we know, saints. Yes.